All right, everybody, welcome to Nerds of a Certain Vintage. As always, I am Patrick.
And I'm Andy.
And we are nerds who are here for our midweek adjacent Friday, April 5th.
April.
What are you drinking over there, Andy?
I'm having a Tavern Brown Ale.
Tavern Brown Ale. That's pretty pedestrian after your milk stout.
That's right. I noticed you're still peanut buttering it up.
Yeah, what do you think? Should I go for can or bottle?
I'm going to say can.
Can.
Yeah, that looks right. New. That looks like something we haven't seen before.
Have you seen?
Pantry Raid. Our first I read it, it was Panty Raid.
I was like, Panty Raid. I think that's intentional.
Yeah.
I actually got this at the beer store down in
Boone?
Boone. And
you get some pretty good choices down there.
Yeah. And, of course, my mom comes over and sees a box of Pantry Raid. And she's like, what's that?
Can I try one?
Sure, you can have some of that.
No, I meant your mom. Your mom's like, can I try some Pantry Raid?
Oh, no. She's not a beer drinker.
No?
No, she likes her rosé.
Oh, well, who can blame her? Rosé is delicious.
Yeah, it's too sweet for me.
Rosé is too sweet. Rosé is not that sweet.
So this is us for our midweek adjacent, where we talk about what are we watching.
Mm-hmm.
You think we've watched anything in common?
No.
I think there might be one thing that we watched in common. If you finished the thing that you...
Ghostbusters?
No.
Yeah, you didn't go to see it?
I didn't go to see that.
Ah. We went and saw Kung Fu Panda 4.
Oh.
My son was all like, let's go see Godzilla X Kong. And I was like, nah, we're going to save that. Let's go see Kung Fu Panda 4.
We need to see that for Ape Real.
Guess what they did?
What did they do?
They made Poe give up being the dragon warrior so that a young fox woman could be the dragon warrior now.
But did he end up the warrior princess?
Huh?
Did he end up being the warrior?
No. He's given up the task and give it so they can give a woman the job.
All right.
Now I can
take
see,
a sip of that. You can have the rest of that.
I can see Kung Fu.
Let me know what you think of Ape.
I can see Kung Fu Panda 5 not being quite as popular, but. That's not bad.
Not bad. Pantry
Raid. It's not as just sort of smooth and sweet and desserty
as... It's the peanut butter that makes it like that.
Yeah.
Like, this has got a little bit of like spice to it.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah. A little bit of bite. A little acidity or whatever.
What I was thinking we might have watched in common was Roadhouse.
Did you finish watching Roadhouse? Yeah. My wife was like, I want to watch that too. And I was like, I waited and I was like... She's like, what do you want to watch? I said, we could watch Roadhouse. And she's like, I don't feel like watching Roadhouse. And she's like, I'll watch it without you up to where you are, and then we can watch it together. Yeah. I'm like, good. About 5 days in, I was like, okay, are you going to watch some Roadhouse at some point? And she's like, you can go and watch it.
You need
it.
a deadline.
I'll catch up. And so I went up, like, that night and watched the rest of Roadhouse. Yeah.
I enjoyed Roadhouse.
I did. I enjoyed it a lot.
It was definitely a beat them up,
yes,
as Holt would say.
Who has beaten them up?
I think that Conor McGregor is a horrible actor.
But I didn't mind him. He was playing a lunatic. He played a lunatic just fine.
Well, he is a lunatic.
Yeah.
I don't think he was playing a lunatic.
He was playing himself. He was playing himself.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I got to see more of his ass than I really wanted to.
Well, nothing makes you look like a lunatic more than the fact that you are more than happy to
walk
down in a public street.
Yeah.
Completely butt naked with your dick hanging out.
You got to be pretty confident.
Yes. Yep.
And he's built, like, I don't know what his dick looks like, but he's built.
Well, I'm glad they didn't show that much of it, because I wasn't that interested either. But, it was funny, because I was driving home from work, and the guys on the radio were talking about this film. Now, I'd heard about this film for a long time, and they were like, Conor McGregor's in it, and they were all like, whether he was going to be the hero or not, and I was just like...
Are you kidding
what
me?
What the hell are you... Have you not seen the trailers? What are you guys paying attention to? You're doing the Hollywood Minute and you don't even know what's going on?
Yeah.
I said, he's totally... I was going to call him up and go, he's an effing villain, guys! What the hell? Come on.
Yeah, you don't even need to know...
Right.
...anything other than who Conor McGregor is. And he is not a Hollywood hero.
Yeah.
He is the foil.
It's a straightforward...
Anti-hero at best.
Right. Straightforward flick, you know, action... fight scenes, that scene at the end where he's just like, yeah, I'm scared of what I can do if somebody really pisses me off.
And I'm pissed off.
Yeah. So
that was a lot.
I'm terrified of this, but here we are. So I've just broken your idol bone. You're gonna choke to death
yeah
on your own blood, so that's fine.
We actually went back my wife, myself, and my daughter went back and watched the original Roadhouse.
Oh, okay.
Just to get a sense of, like, the differences. Yeah,
totally different.
It's definitely... It's
well, there's so no... Different. There's no... He's not number one... In the original, he's a professional bouncer. That's what he does.
Right.
And he was taught by Sam Elliott, yeah. who is the greatest bouncer of all time.
Who has always looked the same age.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that guy was born looking 45.
Exactly. With that beautiful mustache.
Glorious hair.
And that great voice. But, yeah, so he, you know, there was still that scene, I think they completely took the scene and redid it, where he's in the hospital, and he's like, who won? Well, nobody wins a fight.
Yeah.
I think that was in the original Roadhouse, isn't it?
He doesn't say that, but he's still, like, he's got that same kind of philosophy.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah. You know. He's a little introspective about the whole thing.
Right.
This Dalton is less, isn't his name Dalton in the original?
Yeah.
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 This Dalton is less necessarily introspective, but he has some introspection. When he gets stabbed in the parking lot in the beginning, he's just like, oh, okay. You know, yeah. like this happens all the time. Yeah. I'm fine.
Like, oh man, that's going to bleed when I take it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know the guy who's fighting in the cage match who.
Yeah, that's Post Malone.
That's Post Malone, man. I was like, you see all those face tattoos, you're like, wait a second, that looks like Post Malone, man.
Yeah, I was like, man, they bring Post Malone in to be a badass, like,
yeah.
And he's like, no, I'm out.
I know who that guy is. Yeah. I immediately was like, yeah, he killed somebody in the ring. That's definitely what happened, yeah. But...
I mean, the way he killed somebody was pretty...
If you ever watch...
those guys get, like, they got another happens. Gear. They got another gear.
Well, the problem...
They just switch something.
Well, they start... The guy goes down, he's unconscious, they just start jumping on him and pounding on him. And I'm not sure...
I blame the ref.
The ref should be on that quicker, yeah. Or else, like, this Dalton is just too strong, you know. But I think he got a couple extra whacks in there, yeah.
He looked tore up, man. He looked, like, shredded and ripped and...
Yeah, yeah.
And jacked.
And jacked. Yeah, he was jacked up, man.
Yeah, that guy hadn't had any water in a month.
Yeah. I don't know how well received this movie was, but I feel like it's not a reboot and it's not a sequel. Yeah. It's almost like
retelling.
It's almost not even that. It's like an anthology. This is the Roadhouse anthology show.
Sure.
Like, how many Roadhouses are there? How many Daltons might show up and kick the shit out of people who are behaving badly?
Yeah.
There's
a weakness to the story. In that, like, the real bad guy, the guy, the rich dick, he loses nothing by building his, like, palatial estate at one end of this place and having the Roadhouse be there. Like, it was a beautiful bar. Like,
it added flavor. You just build
all
just
people who are coming to your place. Yeah, like they can go
just
down
build your Richie Rich shit at the other end. And if somebody wants a little taste of the Roadhouse, they'll go down that way.
Absolutely, and like it's right on the beach. It's like open to the weather. It's 80 degrees every day. Like,
well,
why are you...
I think that speaks to this, to the psychopathy of the guy. Like, I have to have my way. I want the whole place. I don't want to, I'm not doing half measures. I'm rich. I get my way. Yeah. I need all of this. Now it's set up because his father's in jail. His father's going to be like,
if they have a Roadhouse too,
right. It's set up for a Roadhouse too. Exactly.
Yeah.
But once again, I'm like, he's going to blame Dalton and Conor McGregor's guy killed his son.
Yeah.
You know, Dalton wasn't about to kill anybody.
Yeah.
And it's clearly also Roadhouse, too, because Conor McGregor walked away from the hospital.
Of course.
With his gown showing his ass and stuff.
Yeah,
but
the guy had been stabbed, like, 14 times.
Yeah, but not in any place, like, major.
Important.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Well, it's all...
Anywhere is important.
I'm a firm believer that it's all important.
It's all kind of important.
Yeah. But he got stabbed in all the extraneous parts. So.
Yeah.
So who gives a shit about that?
Yeah, punctured lungs.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, shake it off.
Yeah.
Rub some dirt on it.
I there was a scene in there that just killed me where I don't know who he walked up on it, but the dude punched him in the face and it didn't even move his head.
Yeah.
You know.
That was when the guy was like, you gotta come see the boss.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, okay. Smack. And he's like,
I mean, his head didn't even move. That's like some Superman shit right there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's like.
But it was very well done. It almost looked like whoever that stunt guy was. He threw that punch like he meant it, and it didn't move him. Like, yeah. You know.
Yeah, the whole movie was kind of fun. Like, I legitimately thought, like that guy's a badass. Like in the original. Patrick Swayze's doing Tai Chi on the beach and stuff.
Yeah. Like, you know. He's more dancer style. Yeah.
And he's like, he's 80s jacked. Yeah. But he's not like this. And I don't like, aside from him killing the bad bouncer guy at the end where he tears out his larynx,
mm-hmm.
I don't remember him fighting all that much.
That was the thing. That was the only thing. Is that, yeah, he
avoided
didn't.
The fights if he could.
Yeah.
Like, he walked the guys out. He's like, meet me outside.
There was the smack fight, which was very cool.
Yeah.
But for the most part, yeah, he until the very final denouement.
Yeah.
I still like denouement.
But he knew, like, you know, if you know that what happens when you get in a fight is you could always go that extra step and, like...
Right.
You know. Then it becomes easy to be like, all right, I'm going to be zen about this. I'm going to be like, all right, no, fine.
I'm just going to back away because if you hit me that one time too many, I'm going to lose my shit. And
nobody walks away from that.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
Like.
But that's, you know, if you...
And he was ready to walk away until he... Like, I'm still not quite sure why they burned down that bookstore. Like, you gotta teach a lesson to the entire town?
That was the thing. They wanted everybody gone. Like, he wanted that whole island for his own so that he could build this big resort. So he was going to be driving them all out eventually. Yeah. And they knew...
It seemed like the roadhouse was the last thing. Like, it seemed
I think they were easy pickings. Like, once the roadhouse was gone, they would be easy to move out. And they were the farthest in. They were right off the bridge. Yeah. So he's like moving up in a sort of a structured style. But I think also they recognized that that Dalton had a thing for the bookstore. So that was another reason to burn it down.
Yeah,
it's
you
like,
really want to piss that guy off.
Well, you really want to get him. I mean, if you think about it, it's kind of like all those old-fashioned stories where the villains were evil because they were evil. There was no concept of what is their motivation. Yeah. Why are they like this? It was just like, we love crime. We're going to do some crime. We love it. You know, and it was just like, okay. You know, a more modern audience is like, wait a second. Well, why do you love crime? What is it about crime that you love?
I do love the fact that he had that model built with his, like, huge thing at the end. And he still had the roadhouse built.
I didn't see that. Did he build his huge thing at the end?
Yeah, like, it was like this, like, he had the whole...
That's gross if he had his huge thing there.
No, it's a dude thing.
This is a dude thing, that's right.
It might as well look like a big palace. No, he had built, like, he had the model. It was on the table. And it's like, it's got the hotel at one end. And it's all green space. But he has the roadhouse built in there.
Right. Like I got to get rid of this, yes.
Yeah, like, why would you have the roadhouse? Like, that implies that at one point he had everything in. And he was just replacing that piece with a little bit of...
Just have a bunch of popsicle sticks jammed into the ground. Like, this is what we have to destroy.
Yeah.
So...
It has to be at least 3 times this size.
What is this, a roadhouse for ants?
I will tell you, I really enjoyed the music in this. I was absolutely all
over. Yeah.
Although the idea that like people would just be like the band would still be going on when like full on brawls are happening.
What is this fucking church? Play some real music. Hey, shut the fuck up. Sit down. You know, and then just a brawl would start. Yeah.
And there was, in the original, it was all behind Chicken Wire at the beginning. Like, the band was behind Chicken Wire at the beginning of the original.
I didn't remember that.
Now, eventually, as it became more respectable,
mm-hmm.
they got rid of the Chicken Wire.
Okay.
And so it was not
once,
like that.
Once they had Dalton in there and people were like, he would kick somebody's ass if you get up. Onto the Chicken Wire.
I got the feeling like that entire movie. When I remember that, how long do you think like that movie would have been in like from Dalton showing up to like the denouement?
How long the movie is?
No, just like in like was it a week? Was it a month? Was it 6 months? How long was Dalton in town, do you think? What's your memory of that?
I don't know, 2 or 3 months.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I mean, the only real sense that you get that time is passing is that the bar, the Roadhouse, keeps changing. And it was called the Double Deuce.
Right.
In the original.
Right, right.
And, like, the first night, and it happened in Roadhouse, the new one, too, where they just destroy everything in this bar.
Right.
And I'm like, you got some overhead to replace furniture. Like, how are you just, like, what do you got, a table guy?
There's probably boat, if you live on the beach, boat driving into your bar insurance, you know what I mean?
Probably. Yeah, yeah.
But I'm like, oh, I got to call in the insurance. You really had a boat drive into the bar? Yeah, yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
That old chestnut? It happened again?
I don't believe you. We're sitting down an investigator. Boss, they got a boat in this bar.
Yeah. I'll send pictures. Oh, how is that different from last week?
Yeah, yeah. Why do people keep driving those boats in your bar? They love this place. It's on the beach.
That dude should not have survived. That boat, nobody in that boat accident should have survived.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he flew through the air and landed on the roof. Then fell off the roof.
I know. Some of that was a little bit crazy.
I did like the fight scenes, though. Like, they did some really interesting, like, close-up fight scenes.
Yeah, yeah.
Where, like, it was very frenetic. And I like that just because it's kind of different from other stuff right. I've seen. So, A+. I give this 2 fingers up.
2 middle fingers up.
Yeah.
To the sky, baby.
Yeah. It would be an A++ if Conor McGregor could act at all. Like, if that guy could, like, act his way out of a paper bag.
I was absolutely fine with his acting. He was just playing like a crazy person. Like, he's all smiles and like, yeah, all right, let's get into a fight, man. Like, I don't care.
He seems like the kind of guy who would be exhausting on set.
Yeah.
Like, he would be that guy and, like...
Yeah, yeah. I'm not sure if that's not actually how he is. That's the thing.
Yeah.
So...
Showing up in, like... I do like how he... He would just steal cars. Like, he just, like, the first time he just stole a Ferrari or something. And the next time he had, like, a Peugeot that was, like, a student driver car. He just drove it into a tree and got out. He's like, nah, where is everybody?
Yep.
It's definitely worth seeing.
Well, that's the thing. I think the first one was a cult film for a reason.
Yeah.
Right. It's not
a lot of nudity. A lot more sex in that movie than I remembered.
Yes.
It made for an uncomfortable watch with my daughter.
Oh, I can imagine.
Yeah.
I can imagine. It's not it's not on anybody's list of great films. It's just fun.
Yeah.
And it's a popcorn film. This movie has a bit of that quality. The violence is a little bit more aggressive, I guess.
Yeah.
For a more modern audience.
Yeah, but things...
Quote,
things
unquote. I hate to use that term, modern audience, because it means many things to many people, well, but...
Things progress.
Like, yeah, yeah. Yeah,
you know, even the choreography of the fight scenes,
mm-hmm.
it was just bad. Like, you know, Sam Elliott, like,
oh fighting, yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah,
he couldn't lift his leg above his like he was doing like chop kicks. Like, he might as well have done the James T. Kirk.
Yeah, double jump kick. Yeah, the choreography in the later in this current one is much better, but.
You'd expect that, too.
I mean, well, you enjoyed how surgical Dalton was. In the slap fight, he's just like, all right, bam, okay, I broke your arm.
Yeah.
Can you drive?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I guess I'll drive you to the hospital.
And he's
yeah.
like, bump.
Yeah. He's like, watch out, you know, this is going to hurt.
Well, I liked him as a character. I thought he was like, you know.
Well, he very much gave the impression of a guy who is so aware that he can kick everybody's ass in the room.
Yeah.
That he's not... worried about helping you out after he beats the shit out of you. He's just like, I'll take you to the hospital because if you buck up, I will just kick your ass again and you can't stop me. It's very Batman-like.
All right. I got an idea.
Oh, no.
All right. I know how you like my ideas.
Your ideas are so good.
Yes, they are so good. I say that the next movie should not be like another Roadhouse movie.
Mm-hmm.
You take that character.
Downton Abbey. I'm with you. No, 100%.
No. Con Air. You take that character, and he goes overboard and kills somebody, gets sent to prison, and is put on Con Air afterwards.
No.
Remake a Con Air.
That's not going to work. It's not
you
work,
absolutely could. No. Like, that guy with a glorious mullet?
Yeah, yeah.
You could do it.
No.
Kadabra.
Connor's a one-time deal, man.
Danny DeVito on there?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Wait, you're starting to sell it.
You bring all the same actors back.
No. I mean, I always like the character who's the Terminator, who's pretty much pretty freaking
and he
himself.
Was.
Well, he was up until Conor McGregor. Conor McGregor was kicking his ass all over the place.
Yeah.
Until he
because
got...
Because he wasn't willing to go that extra gear that Conor McGregor was always in the red.
Right.
And he knew he was always in the red, so he was willing to do whatever he wanted. Like,
right.
Whatever. And, Gyllenhaal was always like, I gotta hold myself back, because if I don't... I'm gonna kill some people.
Right.
And... He killed some people.
And you get to that point
or
where,
did he actually kill anybody? I don't think
he killed the dude
in the guy in the ring. Oh, yeah.
He let the guy in the pool. Where the change was made. He's like, I'm always afraid of how far, if anybody pushes me to that point, what I can do.
Yeah.
But you deserve it. So I'm not going to feel too bad about this.
He was
this.
Analytical about it, too.
That's right. That's the thing.
I just broke your collarbone. You can't breathe.
Yeah. Yeah. You're just going to suffocate on your own blood.
You're in trouble.
Yeah. But when he goes out to the boat to save the girl, he's pretty analytical about that. Like, I'm going to kill all these guys. I've put a bomb in the boat. We're going to blow it up.
Yeah.
My only desire is to save her and, you know, whatever, get this thing, get something out of this. And then, of course, her father's there, and he's just like, whatever.
Yeah.
But,
and
you know,
the father is a total douche.
I know. Once again, there's that was
you didn't
one
really,
of,
you didn't really take
no,
the
that
dude.
Was one of the things that bothered me, too, is there's, in a lot of movies today and TV shows, there's this moral ambiguity that we never had in the past. In the past, one of the basic tenets of story writing was the good versus evil. Like,
we want to do crime,
right? Well, you
want to do crime.
Well, there's the generic evil that doesn't make any sense. Better writing was stories where the characters did bad things with a specific motivation that you could understand, but the heroes always sort of knew where the line was drawn.
Right.
They would occasionally cross it, and those were more interesting stories, but still there was the line to cross. But then you have stories these days where you have, like, that, like the father. Like, he's a fucking shitbag.
Yeah.
But then he's like, okay, I'm going to get you off the hook, and we're just going to...
You were never here.
Yeah, we're just going to forget that you were part of the problem.
Yeah.
Like, in the old movies, in the original runs, no, that guy's not getting away with it.
No.
And this sort of moral ambiguity in modern writing, where it's almost like people don't seem to understand who's the hero, who's the villain, and these gray area characters are definitely villains. They're villains. You know, if you're dipping into the gray area without a specific motivation, and once again, like, let me rephrase that and change it. You know, Dalton steps into the gray area a couple of times, but he does it with a motivation.
Yeah.
That's
and tentatively, like, he's
right. He doesn't want
to live there.
Right. But he steps into it, but he's driven to that.
Mm-hmm.
He's driven to that to protect people, which is a good motivation. Whereas the sheriff is taking money. He's fucking people over.
Yeah.
And then when things go bad, he's just like, okay, I'm out. I'll protect you. I'm fine. You're like, wait a second.
Well, I could almost see
you're
that.
Still a villain.
I could see that for self-preservation. Like, he's a weak character who's always trying to.
But there's no. But once again, there was no representation of a redemptive arc.
No, of course.
He just
not.
Got away with it, and that was that's not something that would ever have gone down in the old movies. Because at the end of at the end of the old movies, even the stupid studio guys would be like, "What about that guy?
Yeah,
you're not just gonna let him walk away, are you?
Yeah,
because that his audience ain't gonna like it.
He's still the sheriff in this town.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
he's a bad guy.
Yeah,
yeah. No, I can understand that. I just
is what I don't understand about current movie making is they don't understand the audience ain't gonna like that.
Yeah.
You know, I appreciate your power politics and all this stuff and your concept of there is no good versus evil. It's just who has the power, whatever you want to talk about. But the audience is on a level where they're like, good guys get away with it and the bad guys get punished. And if you're just letting bad guys get away with it all the time.
Well, also, considering in this movie, the bad guy's dad is still in prison.
Mm.
And
but I'm going to let that go because that's a sequel.
No, but you think about this, if there's supposed to be a redemptive arc for the sheriff. And we're going to be like, he did the right thing in the end, so maybe he's a good guy. Well, the next time that guy gets out of jail and comes back and is on a warpath, he's going to kowtow to that guy just
as
much as he ever did. Like, it's all about self-preservation for that guy. And, like, he sees Dalton and he's like, you're a badass. You just killed everybody else that's in power. Like, okay.
Fine. Well, you saved my daughter too. But that's still a self-centered.
Yeah. I would have accepted it if he'd been like, I'm sorry. I'll do better for my daughter. And the daughter's like, please, like, I know I moved away and I changed my name and then I somehow came back to this town and decided I was going to be a doctor here.
That's right.
Like, I understand that, but he's still my dad. And, like, I could see Dalton, like throttling down and being like, okay, like, I'm not going to kill this guy because I'm no longer redlined. But then he gets on the bus and leaves. But well, at some point, that guy's going to get his comeuppance.
Right.
He has to. Like, right. In
as the young girl
kept saying, this is a Western.
Yeah.
It is a Western movie.
Yeah.
Like,
You're Shane, baby.
Yeah, it's the good guy being recruited to come to the town to clean it up.
You're the Pale Rider, baby. Yeah. But that's the thing. In the context of the writing, this is my TV detective logic working. I'm watching the writing, and I'm saying, no, that's not what's going on. He's not set up for a later situation. Hopefully he is. But I get the impression that he was just a throwaway character, so they don't care that he was a villain. And then he's just there as an easy element to get Dalton off the hook.
Yeah.
And that's all they used him for. But they never really recognized the villainous nature of his character up to that point. They didn't care about it.
If there was going to be a follow-up movie to this in this same universe,
mm-hmm.
where it's not just an anthology, but it's in this same universe, it's one of two ways. You either see Dalton, like, have to come back to this town to clear up the dad who's come in,
mm-hmm.
or you see Dalton just, like, in another adventure, and he's Reacher. He's gone to another place, and he's, like, doing his business there.
Right.
I would much rather see the second of those than, like, him having to come back, because it seems like a step back for him to be like, I did as much as I could here.
Well, I don't know that I would have minded, though. He has a friend in the owner of the roadhouse.
And the girl.
He's got a hot girl. I mean, why wouldn't you come back for the hot girl?
Yeah, like, I don't understand why they didn't, like...
hook up?
On that beach? Like, that's a sexy-ass thing to
do.
Like,
once again, you kind of recognize
he's wearing jeans in the surf, though. That's problematic. Well, she didn't tell him that he needed to put on some board shorts or something.
Exactly. That's on her. But, yeah. Well, he's clearly keeping everybody at a distance because of...
He knows.
Yeah.
He knows
his anger issues and stuff. But, yeah. It would not be, and it would be very much an 80s action sequel storyline for him to be dragged back to Glass Key to, you know, hand out some justice to the father and stuff. So I wouldn't necessarily be against that because that's
it's never going to happen.
That's bad 80s writing, but it's the kind that I dig. So
I don't know if, Amazon's got as much money as they want. Like, they can throw money at these sequels all they want.
Yeah, yeah.
And I wouldn't mind seeing more of, Jake Gyllenhaal, like, kicking ass like this.
Yeah.
I've seen...
He's one of those dudes. I'm going to say this, and it's not a popular opinion, but I'm going to say it, and I don't know if people are going to agree with me. I can't tell if he's good-looking or weird-looking, you know?
I think he's a good-looking dude, but he's, like, also...
There's moments where he just looks like he's...
It's surprising when he takes off his shirt, and I'm like, oh, my... Like, that is... ridiculous. Like,
yeah. He's ripped his shit in this movie. Yeah,
that's Donnie Darko.
There's moments when they close up on him, and I'm like, is he good looking or is he just all nose and eyebrows?
That's the same with his sister. Like, there's been some movies where I'm like, damn, she's sexy as hell, and others I'm like, what was I thinking?
Exactly. I must have been drinking.
Imagine that. Speaking of drinking, I'm going in for my peanut butter chocolate milk stuff.
I know. You are peanut butter heavy tonight.
Well, you know.
I don't blame you, man.
That Beaties ain't going to beat itself.
The Beaties ain't going to beat itself, that's for sure. Oh, that poor Beaties.
So if they have more pantry raid, do you want me to get you...
No, this does not hold a candle to the peanut butter milk stout nitro. No. So
I don't think it's intended. It's not even in the same family though. It's got peanut butter.
It's like a chocolate peanut butter porter,
but it's more spicy than like chocolatey.
But I don't think that's on purpose. I just think that the beer itself is a little less smooth.
Yeah, I mean, this is not as good as the Left Hand Brewing.
Yeah, nothing is.
No.
Nothing is.
Well, Nibs.
Well, Nibs were. Nibs. But they're gone. They're never to be seen again.
God damn it.
They're a unicorn. We will tell stories to our grandchildren of Nibs, yes. And they will be like, I don't believe, Poppy. Listen. Poppy, I don't believe that ever existed.
Yes, we know that you're never going to be a grandfather. But if you were going to be a grandfather.
How dare you, sir? How dare you strike me with that honesty?
If you were going to be a grandfather, what name would you go by? You got Papa Andy? What do you got? Papa Jimin? What do you got?
Papadocio. Please call me
my good sir.
Please call me Papadocio.
You know what they call grandfather in Italian, right?
Abuelo.
No.
No. Okay. No. Okay.
So I tell my family, I want you to call me Nono.
Okay.
Because Nono says yes, yes.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I'm an Irish, like, deep down. Like, there's, like, you dig through the layers of the onion, and there's more Irish.
You're right, right. So for you to be having an Italian, yeah.
Like, it doesn't make, man, talk about, you know.
My boy's got Italian in
him. All right.
Mariana's Italian.
Yeah, but, you know.
She's Italian and Jewish.
Yeah, your line ends
and
with
I'm,
you.
I'm, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well. I don't know that that's a bad thing, the way this world's
my
going.
My line might end with me, yeah. Too. I don't know.
Exactly.
All right. Well, anyway, like, Roadhouse. Listen, you go and see it. Watch it.
Yeah.
We recommend it.
Well worth it.
Yeah. It's a kick-ass movie.
It's not going to win any Oscars like Joker.
Well, there's some technical stuff it could win.
Yeah.
Put it against...
visual effects.
Yeah, put it against Dune.
No. Sorry.
They're not riding any worms.
That's right.
But they do crash a boat into a bar.
That's right. Talk about visual effects. Plus, obviously, Jake Gyllenhaal's body is all CG. Like, he's got a dad bod times 10.
You think so?
But yeah, no, they totally CG'd him some, like, serious abs and some obliques.
He went on the Camille Nanjiani.
Yeah, yeah. They put him on the marble.
That, like, even during that first fight with Post Malone is a doughy man.
I know. Yeah, like, he was the most badass dad bod I ever saw. Like, he was kicking everybody's ass.
He was beating the hell out of that guy. But as soon as Jake Gyllenhaal took his jacket off, you could, like, they did the pan around the crowd, and everybody's like, oh.
Yeah.
And Post Malone's like, I know that guy. I'm out.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm out. I don't care.
He's like, they were all looking at him like, these aren't the chubbies we normally get in here, man. Jeez,
no. Yeah.
She's funny.
All right, so what else have you watched? What else?
Oh, we're watching so much K-dramas.
I thought you were onto, like, Chinese dramas or whatever.
You know what? Actually, mostly we've been watching, like, regular television. Will Trent, Tracker, Ghosts,
is
Not
Ghosts
Dead Yet.
Back on now? Or is
It's the next episode is not until... I think this week, it's in here in April. Mm. Elspeth.
Don't you mean
April. Elspeth had his first episode. The second episode wasn't until a month later
ridiculous.
April.
We talk about streaming as a business model that doesn't make sense. That is a business model that doesn't make sense.
Well, it makes sense because they sell advertising, but, you know, they're going to do it however they do it.
No, but you do a drop of, like, here, first taste free, now you got to wait 4 weeks for the next. Taste.
Well,
like, that's ridiculous.
That is ridiculous. But
in the world we live in now, people do not have that.
I think the networks are still searching it out. They don't know what they're supposed to be doing because everybody wanted to go to streaming. Streaming is a dumb idea. It's not working. So now the streaming is moving back towards almost like a network television model where they sell advertising, which will work. That will make them enough money probably to survive. But now I'm hoping that the networks are sort of applying the lesson of streaming. Like, nothing, it doesn't have to be a 24 episode season. It can be a 10 episode season if it's a good story, if it works. And then, and you don't necessarily have to stick to the absolute schedule. It has to come out in September. It has to be done by December. Right. Then you have a big hiatus. You don't have to do that. If you want to do it from November until, you know, May, that's fine. And you can break it up. It doesn't have to be every week. I prefer, obviously, the way the streaming folks do it, that do it more like a regular TV show where they do it weekly. That's great. If you have
one of the reasons that Ted Lasso was so fantastic. You wanted to wait. Like
it made you wait. Like, I think making you wait is a good idea. Yeah, the binge model is not a great idea.
Well, you have conversations about things,
right?
And you're like, isn't this the greatest show ever? If you do that and it's all 13 episodes of the show, drop it once, you have that conversation for maybe like 2 weeks.
Right.
But after that, you're like, on to the next thing.
Yeah.
With something that has 13 weeks dropping once a week, then you build that, and you're like, yeah.
And you have to schedule them. It's it's part of your week.
Absolutely.
That's a much better model. Once again, the streaming was always a dumb idea.
Why don't they put us in charge of shit? Shirts.
I don't even want to be in charge. I just think they should listen to what makes sense. You know, reason is where you find it. Meaning is where you find it. And people, like, don't listen to common sense. So
that's super deep, man.
We're watching a K-drama show that I think you would like.
Oh, Lord. Is it? Chicken tender?
No.
Not chicken tender. Chicken nugget.
Chicken nugget. My oldest son keeps coming downstairs and he's like, what are you watching? We're like, watching a K-drama. Is it chicken nugget? And I'm like, no, it's not chicken nugget.
Maybe I'll come over and watch chicken nugget.
Yeah, we have not started watching chicken nugget. There's a show, it's a couple of years old, but it's called Memories of Alhambra, but it is about this, it's an augmented reality game.
Okay.
In the real world.
Okay.
Like this kid has created this thing that, like, a company has created this contact lens that, you know, you can use as a computer monitor kind of thing.
Sure.
And also an earpiece that comes with it so that you can
get the
access your computer and all this stuff.
Yeah.
This kid has created this video game that goes with that technology that works in the real world.
Hmm.
And so, like, statues jump off and become enemies for you to fight with swords and stuff. And you have to go. there's the first episode, the guy activates the game, and he has to follow this trail, and it takes him into this restaurant. He has to go in the bathroom, and there's a towel rack that he has to pull, and there's a chain on it. And there's a glass ceiling that opens up, and this rusty sword comes floating down, and he has to grab it. And it's his first weapon. He's level one, okay. So it's a rusty sword. It's not very strong.
Sure.
And he keeps going back and challenging this warrior that's on a sculpture in one of the town center areas. And he fights it, and of course nobody else can see what he's doing, but he's like dodging and doing all this stuff. But he keeps getting beaten, and he has to go back every time to get that damn rusty sword. So they just show him going back and forth and back and forth and back. And he keeps walking into the toilet. And at first the waiter is like, hey, you know, like, I'll have a table for you and ready. He's like, that's fine. He goes in the bathroom. Mm-hmm. And he leaves, and then when he comes back, the guy's like, "Hey, I've got a table for you." He's like, "No, I'm good." And he goes to the bathroom, and he comes back, and the guy's like, "So you don't want to sit?" He's like, "No, I'm just using the bathroom or something."
Yeah,
and
I got issues.
And so by the fourth or fifth time, the guy's just ignoring him, and then they close, and he has not beaten the guy yet, and they close, and he's knocking on the door, and they're like, "We're closed," and he gives him just a wad of money. He said, "Can you stay open for just one more hour?" Because he's getting close to beating the warrior, and he just keeps coming back and getting that sword. Until he finally beats the guy, and that's the first episode. And then you discover that this kid who has created this game, he's only like 18. He's not 18. He's 17 and like 10 months. He has 2 months till his 18th birthday. And there's another company that's trying to get his signature for this game, and he can't sign it because he's a minor. So this guy also wants the game. And that's the introduction, but it's, you know, once again, it takes place in Granada in Spain.
Okay.
So it's not, you know, they're
but
still...
But it is a K-drama.
Yeah, they're still all talking in Korean, but they do switch to English occasionally, and they do switch to Spanish occasionally.
Hmm.
So, this in the second episode, they do a time jump into the future, and things have not worked out as expected. Like, he thought he was going to get the game... and the last part of the episode, he gets into this clearly augmented reality gunfight on a train. And I can't, you can't tell how much of it is real and how much of it is just, you know.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. It's a very weird show.
All right. And what's it called?
It's called Memories of Alhambra.
And is that the name of the game? Is that what?
Alhambra is, apparently if you go to Granada, that's what people go to Granada for.
Alhambra.
Grenada. Is it Grenada?
I don't know how you pronounce it.
Yeah. If you go to Grenada, apparently Alhambra is the big tourist attraction. And this guy is just like, when people in the future come to Grenada, it won't be for Alhambra. It'll be because Grenada has magic. It has this VR game. This
Alhambra tickets. It's like Google has all Alhambra is all over the place.
Yeah.
Andalusia, Spain.
Yep.
Hmm.
So right. it was an interesting show.
All right. Grenada, Andalusia, Spain. All right.
And I first thought of you because I was like augmented reality.
Reality game, yep. Man. Yeah.
It was a cool first episode.
I have been watching so much damn Skype or Psych, man. It is ridiculous.
And Skype. I've been watching Psych on Skype.
I have. I got multiple monitors.
You're just like powering through this, huh?
Oh Lord. And the it's not good. That's the problem. It's not good. I think we've talked about this. Like. Mm-hmm. The mysteries seem a bit like escape rooms to me.
Yeah.
Like everything's super obvious,
mm-hmm.
but what really upsets me, and this is not going to stop me from watching it because I do like the characters.
Right.
Like Gus is the greatest. Yeah. Like, I'm still not sure why he like hangs out.
Why he remains with Sean.
With Sean.
Who takes so much advantage of him.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. But, the thing I've realized is that in this town, there is no chance that most of the crimes that Sean solves, and I'm putting air quotes around solves,
right.
would hold up in court. Because there is no evidence other than what he sees. And it's like, even the things he sees,
mm-hmm.
it's mostly dependent on getting people to admit what they did. If any smart person was just to be like, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, this is ridiculous. I'm going to go in front of a judge and your evidence is a psychic?
Yeah.
Like, okay, I'll take my shot. I'll take my chances at that.
That's not a problem in these types of shows. Every show like this does that. Like, the evidence is always so sketchy. It's mostly about figuring out who did it. Yeah.
There is one scene, like, there's this whole will they, won't they thing between him and what's her name, like,
mm-hmm.
and
Maggie Lawson, what's her name on the show?
Jules,
yeah.
Yeah, and so there's this thing, and he comes back to the station,
mm-hmm.
and I it's only him and her at the station. Which doesn't make any sense for a police station, like, at all.
Not to have a bunch of cops there, yeah. There's always cops.
The lights are down, and she's, like, about to turn off her desk lamp and leave for the night, and just leave nobody there.
That's a detective office. That's just that, yeah. The real cop station is elsewhere, yeah.
They got plenty. But anyway, so there's this whole scene where it's, like, they're talking, and, like, he leans in, like, he's gonna kiss her.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't reciprocate. And so they're just, like, close talking. Like, super, like, close. And he's like, she's like, what are we doing here? And he's like, it's just what I call close talking. So there's this whole thing about where they're going to kiss or not. And I was like, oh, Lord, we're in season two. Like, we don't have to have them be a thing. Like, why can't they just be colleagues? Like, what is wrong with people?
Well,
you got to see the hot guy.
See, this is different, like, the X-Files, where they were represented as just colleagues. Like, there was clearly the love interest from the beginning in Psych.
Well, I don't know. He's a horn dog.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's done nothing to say, like, and
to give him any idea that there might be something there.
No,
yeah.
Like,
but that's the thing about him, is that he never gives up. He's focused on this thing, and that's what he wants.
So what I'm hearing,
uh-huh.
stalking works, is what you're saying. It's like, just keep at it, stalkers.
Yeah.
It'll all work out for you in the end.
Well, no, you got to take some of the vibe into account, you know.
Yeah, well, he definitely has a vibe.
No means no, but
yeah,
not no means not no.
Right? Yeah. Oh, I forgot to tell you what else I watched. Of course,
mm-hmm.
I had to finish Aquamarch watching Waterboy. I had to watch
Waterboy. Oh, I thought you said you'd already watched Waterboy.
No. I watched it the last day
of Aquamarch. It's so schmoopsy, bro.
Oh, my God. That movie, like, it holds up
so
well.
Yeah.
Like,
tears. Something wrong with you, Madula Agamagata, Colonel Sanders.
Moses, crocodiles are ornery because they got so many teeth and no toothbrushes. There's so much about that movie that I'm like, this is just fantastic. I'm sitting there and I'm like, why? Like,
she let me touch her boobies and I liked it.
We're gonna be like that Tiger Woods and his daddy.
Roberto.
It really holds up.
Yeah.
To whom it may concern. No, that movie holds up. And he got, there's no reason that anybody should be, like playing those guys in a football game. He's like sacking the quarterback 17, 20 times a game. Like, yeah. You got the quarterbacks like, please don't hurt me.
Yeah.
It's like, I wish my daughter like didn't have such an anti Adam Sandler bent to her. Like, she really just has something.
Damn, she's like my mother and my father.
She says she won't watch any Adam Sandler movies until we watch Spaceman. And I'm like, really though? Like, why?
You know, I wish he had a solidly, like, obviously good movie that wasn't a hard watch. Like, Uncut Gems is supposed to be a good flick, but a hard watch. Yeah. But in that,
well, that basketball one's pretty good.
Yeah, like, it doesn't seem like watch. Yeah, but it's also like a sports movie, which is
not your thing.
Not your daughter's thing, I would imagine.
No, I mean, like, now you tell me, like, when you think of an Adam Sandler movie, what comes to mind? Like, what is the first thing that comes to mind aside from Hubie?
The Waterboy, probably.
Yeah, like, I think of Waterboy. I Happy think of, Gilmore. Like, Happy Gilmore. I think of...
Grown Ups.
Happy, whatever, Billy Madison.
Billy Madison.
I think of those movies.
Grown Ups.
Yeah. She seems to think, like the more recent stuff is the bit, like, the Adam Sandler movie. And her...
Murder Mystery. Those are good. Those are good. Those one you might be able to get her to watch.
Maybe.
He's in a loving relationship. Yeah, they're a little fucked up, the two of them, but they still care about each other.
Yeah, and she's hot as balls, so...
So something for you? A little something for the ladies?
A little something for the man in you. No, but she's like... her idea is... She tries to convince me of this, and you tell me whether this is a convincing argument.
It will not be.
Her argument is, if you took Adam Sandler out of the movie... Would it still be, like, an Adam Sandler film? Like, would you think of it, like, as an Adam Sandler vehicle? Or could you just replace Adam Sandler with a generic other comedian?
And I'm like... No.
Happy Gilmore? Not a chance.
Waterboy? Billy
Madison? Waterboy? No. Like, Grown Ups? Yeah. I could see the... Like, you could put, like, Jim Carrey in Grown Ups, and it would be the same freaking movie.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
he's not playing a character in there. He's almost playing himself to some degree.
Yeah, I'm like, you know, you didn't live through the early Adam Sandler films.
Right.
I'm like, listen, daughter, just sit down. Dad's got opinions. He's going to tell you.
Right.
But the idea that Adam Sandler's an Adam Sandler movie.
And so she's clearly seen something for her to have this idea that he's entirely replaceable. Yeah.
No. At what point do young people need to see things to have opinions?
Yeah, I keep thinking that there has to be logic to things. I know. Listen, stupid of me.
Listen, I'm not going to say this about their generation. I'm saying young people in general.
Yeah.
Like, when I was 16, I had the same dumbass things in my mind. Like, you know.
Strange.
I had the actually.
Yeah, you know what? Oddly, I did not.
Oh, that's because you lived out in BFE.
BFE, Northern Virginia.
What else did I watch? I watched, Waterboy holds up. A lot of Psych. I started watching Night Agent.
Yeah, it's a great flick. Great show.
Yeah. Like, my wife and I were watching it. We're like, this is really, really intense.
Really good. It's awesome.
Like, there's some stuff like, you know, that woman is like bonkers.
Yeah.
But yeah.
That is a great show. Mary and I watched it. We're like, wow, this is really good. That's when we powered through in like 4 days, I think. Yeah. Like, we just. Like, Mary's like, you want to watch Night Agent? Yeah. I'm like, sure, man. I'm down for Night Agent.
Like, who is that guy? Like, he seems like...
You've seen him in something. Yeah. Like, yeah, yeah. He's like, been in some stuff.
He's like a generic Hollywood handsome guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And he handles himself really well.
Like, yeah.
It's the mystery's kind of cool. It keeps drawing you in. And, yeah. Yeah.
It is a great show. Yeah. As you're talking, I'm remembering more and more about who the bad guys are. I'm like, okay.
Well, yeah, I mean... As soon as it starts, Vinny is like, oh, but Robert Patrick or whatever the guy's name. He's the bad guy. I'm like, no, that's too obvious. That's too on the nose. Something's up here.
Yeah.
Like, it's more nuanced than that. They're not going to just show you the bad guy at the beginning. That would be the twistiest of all twists.
I know. And they were
to
like,
make the guy that you think is the bad guy the bad guy.
Let's write the stupidest mystery. People will never get it.
Yeah. This is like the Love Boat of mysteries.
Exactly. Fantasy Island of Mysteries is what this is.
We've got Poirot.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, no, that guy can't be that dumb. Yeah. Wait a minute, they did that.
He is that dumb. Onion. That's the perfect mystery.
Glass Onion.
Yeah, yeah. No, the villain was. But you should have the detective be just that stupid. Like, people keep giving themselves up to him, and he does not have any idea what he's... He just accidentally, like, talks random shit, yeah. And people are like, he's on to me, you know? And they just, like...
He's sort of a psychic.
He's some sort of a Sherlock Holmes. I'm kind of with you on the death and other details. We got to the point where what's his name, the detective, says, "No, I'm really a shitty detective." Yeah. I just like, and I'm like, wait a second. You this whole time you've shown that you have intellect and you've represented all this stuff, and now you're gonna be like, "Oh no, I was just lucky." Well, where the fuck does that come from? Yeah. That's out of nowhere, man. Well, it doesn't make any sense based on. All the things you've figured out so far.
And it gets more off the rails.
Okay.
Like, you know, watch it to the end just to see, because I would love to hear your, like, trying to deconstruct that show is just, like, it's the naughtiest of sweaters. Like, pulling at threads, you're like, what is this?
It's like a sweater that you're unraveling, and then you realize it was never a sweater. It was just a pile of skeins. Yeah. All jumbled together.
It wasn't even that. It was like a wild alpaca.
Yeah,
that
just exactly.
To wander
exactly.
Through your room.
Yeah, until you got to the end and it dragged you through the hallway.
Yeah.
Because you're like, oh my god, this is actually still attached to an animal. Son of a bitch. Yeah.
I also watched some Schitt's Creek, man.
Oh, how? Like, you've not finished that?
No, I finished it, but
you watched it again?
I'm watching it again with Verity.
We watched some of the first season, and I was just like, not for me.
It's definitely not for everybody. Yeah. But man, it gets really heartfelt at the end. Like, if it holds a fairly similar position as Ted Lasso for me.
Okay.
Whereas it's just kind of, you're always expecting them to be the bad guys. But they're always, like, they end up being the good guys. Like, it just...
Or just not the bad guys.
Yeah, I mean, like...
I mean, they're still...
They're never, like...
They're still shallow kind of dickheads, but not...
Well, I mean...
Not bad people, really, per se.
Yeah, but, I mean, there's a growth arc. Like...
Yeah, yeah.
By the end of the season, by the end of the series, you're, like...
Mildly redemptive.
It's not even mildly. Like, they are redeemed.
Okay.
They are fully redeemed.
Schitt's Creek is like purgatory on your way to heaven.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like they had to learn their lessons about, like, being shallow and being, you know, and you had to get away from that. Like, if
you had to get away from wealth and elitism, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you're in your bubble just as much as you are in Schitt's Creek if you're just, like, you know, living in the motel in Schitt's Creek. And so, like, there's something to be said for if you struggle through Schitt's Creek. It has redemptive arcs at the end. Like, by the end, I was weeping at some of these stories. And you know me.
Yeah.
I'm such a weeper.
Well, no, you're like a block of stone. You don't have any emotions at all.
I am stoic.
Well, stoic's not the word. I can't believe you're not
unfeeling?
A big...
Unfeeling?
Yeah, I can't believe you're...
Unfeeling. Ing.
I can't believe you're not a big fan of Spock the way you are.
Listen, I didn't say I'm not a big fan of Spock.
Yeah, yeah.
I just...
You just don't recognize the...
I'm OG Spock, the one that likes the tinkling of the musical flowers. Like that Spock.
The one that's addicted to plant pollen.
Yes, exactly.
If he gets sprayed in the face with another fucking flower that turns him emotional, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Well, I like the Spock who somehow goes through a transporter accident and becomes fully human and is just like, oh, this is what food tastes like? Mm, I love it.
It's so tasty. When I was a Vulcan, we did not have taste buds.
Hey, I can see that.
It's, yeah, it's not like
it's
you don't.
It's physiology.
It's not like you don't have them. It's just how you react to them, really, right?
You don't know what a
I don't,
you don't know what a Vulcan.
I don't remember
like.
Flavor.
You don't
thank
know
God I became a human.
You're not a Vulcan. Like maybe all of their taste buds are in their ear tips, for all you know.
Mm. You know, I've heard that they were the precursor to Balchinians. the great Balchinians. That's the greatest alien race of all time.
I'm thinking, yeah, you gotta kick
he kicks,
him.
He kicks.
In
he
the,
kicks him in the fork. He's a Balchinian.
You gotta kick him in the face.
That's where you want to have your balls, man. There's nothing. There's nothing less sensitive than your effing face, right?
Yeah. Like get a pop. Like imagine what Reacher would do with some Balchinian.
Yeah.
That's just speed bag right there.
Reacher would be bursting some balls. Like those scrotums would be just all busted up. Gross.
What a great way to end this.
I know.
Oh Lord. Well, this was fun. I enjoyed our conversation about Roadhouse.
Roadhouse, yeah, yeah.
I think that might be the kind of movie I rewatch. Just to
I'll rewatch it. I'm gonna be at some point like, hey Mary, have you watched Roadhouse? Let's watch Roadhouse.
Yeah.
And she'll be like, no, it's okay, I watched
it. 5 minutes in.
I've already watched it and I wanna watch it again. Just shut the effing up and watch the effing movie. Gaga gaga.
As soon as she gets to the slap fight, she's gonna be like, I'm all in.
Yeah,
like,
well,
take my money.
As soon as he takes his shirt off in the ring, she's gonna be like, "Ooh, a little something for the ladies."
Post Malone,
yeah,
he's gonna be like, "Oh,
yeah.
I do love a deli man.
I love a sexy dead bod."
he definitely looks like a
Andy. Come over here and give me some sugar, dad bod.
Yeah, that guy looks like a Stay Puft marshmallow.
He's the toughest Stay Puft marshmallow there is.
I didn't know they could tattoo
on
marshmallow.
They I can't believe they haven't like started selling Stay Puft marshmallows. I mean, I'd buy some Stay Puft marshmallows.
Yeah, but they have to be the little ones. Just a little, just so you can put a skewer right through the butthole and put it on the fire.
Their marshmallows, they don't have a butthole.
That's what you say.
Yeah.
All right, well, the Dame is spoken, so it is time for us to wrap it up. As always, I have been Patrick.
And I have been Andy.
Oh.
I'm not de-doinking it.
No,
I'm not. I'll de-doink it later.
Listen, for April, we got to go with something else.
Okay.
For, as always, I have been Monkey Man.
And I have been Dead Monkey Man. Works in every situation.
It does. You can't get it. It's the perfect denouement.
Denouement? It is the perfect denouement.
The perfect monkey denouement. I have been Momoment, and he has been Demoment. Stop recording.
What?
You guys are weird.